Good morning. Welcome to worship. How good it is to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. It's great to see folks from 8:45 and 11 o'clock together. We're glad that you decided to join us this morning. Please fill out our attendance binders at the ends of the pew so that we know you were here. And if you would, turn to your neighbor and welcome them to worship. As you make your way back to your pews, please be seated and we'll begin our service with our call to worship. Please stand as we sing our opening hymn together.
Thank you. remain standing. Let us affirm our faith together as we recite the Apostles' Creed. It is printed on your bulletin and also, I should say, on the screens for you today. So let us say what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We want to invite Laura White, who's on our mission team, to come and share this mission moment.
Good morning, church family. My name is Laura White, and I have the pleasure of sharing a new mission opportunity with you that allows us to be the hands and feet of the church here in Baldwin County. Baldwin Family Village is a newly established transitional housing program for homeless women and children in Baldwin County that is located just down the road in Fairhope. This new program will be able to serve about 100 homeless single women and women with children annually and will be operated as a program of the Dumas Wesley Community Center. Baldwin Family Village provides stable housing for each resident in the house that's seen on the slide behind me, so that the resident can focus on becoming self-sufficient. The program helps residents develop job and educational skills, provides childcare, and helps residents and their children recover from and avoid the trauma that homelessness and financial instability cause to their health, self-esteem, and emotional development. We have an opportunity to support the women and children in this program in a few different ways. First, we can get with our friends, our family, and our church groups and make and serve a dinner to the women and children who live in the home. We can provide transportation for residents to their job interviews and doctor's appointments. We can provide childcare on Tuesday and Thursday evenings and on school holidays. We can even share our skills and gifts to teach a life class that focuses on parenting, financial education, or other life skills. I encourage you to take a look at the Baldwin Family Village website. The web address is on the slide. Contact Amy Abernathy, who's the director of the program, or call the church office to explore ways you can be the light of Christ to these women and children. I will be in the narthex in the back after the service. If you have any questions, I can try to answer those for you as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. As we give God thanks for this ministry opportunity in this moment, we prepare our hearts for prayer time and to come before God in the throne of mercy. There are many prayer requests that we bring, and we would like to at this time also remember the Infinger family and the loss of Mrs. Pat Infinger on this last week, and we want to be able to keep her family, her children, her grandchildren in prayer moving forward and support them in the ways that we know we can as a church to provide comfort. We know that there are many needs, many prayer requests, and many concerns, and we also know that we've got an Almighty God who can handle it all. So let us bow our heads and go to God in prayer for ourselves, our community, our world, and for each other. Heavenly Father, we come this morning praying that you would lead us. For if you lead us, God, we cannot go astray. We come to you this morning to cast our burdens upon your shoulders, dear Lord, to bow at your feet, dear Lord, in our joy, our excitement, our grief, our sorrow, our questions, and our doubts. We come to your throne of mercy, dear Lord, to let our heavy go so that we can take on the yoke of your joy and your guidance and your presence. We invite your Holy Spirit to come and sit with us, dear Lord. We ask that you sit with our grieving families, in our church community, and in our world and in our nation. We ask that you be with our world, dear Lord, our church as a whole. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you be with our families, dear Lord, that you be with our neighbors and the strangers that we will meet and know nothing about their stories and narratives. Be with us all, Heavenly Father. As we come to you in this moment of praise and worship, we release everything that hinders us, everything that blocks us, so that we can give you the total praise unto your name and unto the glory of you, dear Lord. As we come to be the church that you have called us to be, we come this morning saying, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Lead us in the footsteps of righteousness for your name's sake, Heavenly Father. Work in our hearts, work in our souls. And as we come to you this morning in our prayer request, we come boldly praying for each other, our neighbors, and our world as we pray the prayer that you have taught us to pray, as we uplift all of our requests for the missions that you have given us in our community, for the lives that need to be saved, dear Lord, and for the hurts and pains and groans that have not been spoken. We come this morning to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I want to invite the Ames family, if they would come forward in these moments. We're going to receive Greg and Amy into membership and now baptize their children today as well. Each of you should have received a bulletin inside your bulletin regarding the service for holy baptism. But before we come to that, we're going to join Greg and Kimberly today. So Greg and Kim, as we come together, it's their joining by renewal of their faith today. Do you, in the presence of God in this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, trust Him as your Savior? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as a faithful member of Christ's holy church? And will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Amen. Thanks be to God. We welcome you. And now you hear of double blessings. Well, we have a triple blessing today with the baptism of their children. And we will follow along in the program. And Kitsy will lead the first part of this.
We begin our sacrament of baptism to the children. We remind it, dearly beloved, baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which grace we become partakers of his righteousness and heirs to life eternal. Those receiving the sacrament are thereby marked as Christian disciples and initiated into the fellowship of Christ's holy church. Our Lord has expressly given to little children a place among the people of God, which holy privilege must not be denied them. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give this child to the Lord. The whole life of this child will be given over to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28.
What names will these children be called, this child?
Alexandra Elise Ames, Gregory Allen Ames, and Victoria Ames.
Do Do you therefore accept as your bounden duty and privilege to live before Alexandra Elise, Gregory Allen, and Victoria Anise, a life that becomes the gospel, to exercise all godly care that they be brought up in the Christian faith, that they be taught the holy scriptures, that they learn to give reverent attendance upon the private and public worship of God? Will you endeavor to keep Alexandra Elise, Gregory Allen, and Victoria Anise under the ministry and guidance of the church until they, by the power of God, shall accept for themselves the gift of salvation and be confirmed as a full and responsible member of Christ's holy church? Alexandra Elise Ames, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gregory Allen Ames II, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Victoria Anise Ames, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Help me stand. You're welcome to stand.
Beloved of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care Alexandra Elise Ames, Gregory Allen Ames II, and Victoria Anise Ames, whom we this day recognize as members of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that they may grow in the knowledge and love of God the Father through our Savior Jesus Christ?
Let us respond. With God's help,
we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that Alexandra Elise, Gregory Allen, and Victoria Elise, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, grant that Alexandra Elise, Gregory Allen, and Victoria Anise, as they grow in years, may also grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that by the restraining and renewing influence of the Holy Spirit, they may ever be a true child of yours, serving you faithfully all of his days. So guide and uphold the family of Alexandra Elise, Gregory Allen, and Victoria Elise, that by loving care, wise counsel, and holy example, they may lead him into the life of faith whose strength is righteousness and whose fruit is everlasting joy and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's give them a presentation. Thank you. Amen.
At this time, we'll have Miss Kelly come forward for Children's Moment.
Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. It was not on. Good morning, everyone. Come on up. I have something I need you to hold. Here you go. Hold all those. All right. Wow, good morning, guys. All right, so I have a question, and I want you to raise your hand. Who knows a lot about sheep? Okay, only a few of us. Well, I have some things that I have learned about sheep. Ready? So sheep are pretty much helpless and can't find their own food. They often wander away from the flock, and they're lost. Sheep have no means of protecting themselves. And they will run when they are threatened by a coyote or a wolf or some other animal that tries to harm them. And that is where the shepherd comes in. So the shepherd is very important in the care and protection of his sheep. There are many times that the Bible refers to God's children as sheep and the Lord as their shepherd. So what does the shepherd do for his sheep? Okay, he provides a pasture for them to find food. He takes care of those who need him the most, especially the little lambs, and that's you guys. When they are hurt or afraid, he picks them up and carries them in his arms. He gathers the sheep when they wander off and protects them from their enemies. So the shepherd always wants what is best for his sheep, and he leads them into green pastures where they have plenty to eat. He leads them to fresh water so they have plenty to drink, and he leads them to shelter where they will be safe from danger. The Lord is our shepherd, and he provides us with all that we need. When we stray, he brings us back. When we are in danger, he protects us. And when we fall, he is the one who picks us up. So let's pray before we go to children's church. Heavenly Father, you are the shepherd and we are your sheep. We thank you for your love and care for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Blessings to our children as they go on to children's church. As we prepare for our offertory, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for the blessing of this offering. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to offer our offering unto you, to give you thanks for all that you have given unto us. As we dedicate this offering to you, we pray that it will do the will that you have called us to do for the kingdom of God, for its people, and all those in the kingdom. We give you thanks for all that has been given and pray that you continue to bless us in our giving seasons and beyond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
invite us to remain standing as we turn to the Holy Word of God. Today is the theme of the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Before I give the sermon today, many of you know this is Bonnie's, Harold's last Sunday with us as the music director. She's still going to be in our church family. We announced before that she's dedicating more time to her family. But I know this was a tough Sunday for the choir singing today, but they did wonderfully well today. And we so much appreciate you, Bonnie, and we're praying for you. We'll say more as we go to the luncheon and the reception that will be there also. But on behalf of our congregation, our staff, we are thankful to the Lord for you and for your family. And know that God's favor will remain upon you in the next steps here. But let's just give a thanks to the Lord. Okay? Amen. Amen. We will say more words at the fellowship hall. And we are eating today. Did I say that? So as we come to this theme today, I wanted to focus more upon this verse that says, the sheep listen to him. The sheep know his voice. And the whole theme of listening or hearing, of course, is one of the most important elements we have in any relationship in life. Hearing and listening to our husband or wife is essential in marriage. Hearing and listening is essential between parents and children. Hearing and listening is essential in friendships. In any relationship that is meaningful, that is helpful, will have within it this listening and hearing aspect. I came across, and I've shared some of these quotes with you before. They're not necessarily biblical quotes, but very insightful ones related to hearing or listening. And I want to share some of them with you. This is one of my favorite ones. Again, I've shared some of these before, but they're worth repeating. It says, "You cannot truly listen to anyone and do anything else." Did you hear that? You cannot truly listen to anyone and do anything else. To listen effectively. That's Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled. Carl Rogers, man's inability to communicate is a result of his failure to listen effectively. Turkish proverb, if speaking is silver, then listening is gold. One of my favorite ones, kind of humorous, is by Robert Shuler, big egos have little ears. Diane Sawyer, longtime news analyst, I think the one lesson that I have learned is that there is no substitute for paying attention. And then out of Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Those are incredible quotes. Again, they're not biblical, but certainly in line with the biblical message of what Jesus is talking about here. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice." There's three parts of the sermon that I want to share today. One is, first, identifying perhaps some distractions that prevent us from hearing or listening to the voice of Christ. Second is, how do we hear the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd? And the third part, are we obedient once we do hear what we know is the voice of the Good Shepherd or Christ in our lives? And the first one is identifying perhaps some distractions. One of the greatest distractions, I believe, at our time is that we are overcome with information. We struggle with information overload, and at times we struggle with decisions that we're making. And even in going to a place like McDonald's, the restaurant, and the menu that is there, people may struggle scratching their heads wondering what they want. So many voices we hear every day, it can be overwhelming, and for many it is. A few years ago, I came across a t-shirt in the Cracker Barrel that said, "I'm not confused. Wait a minute. Yes, I am." And part of that is just the sheer volume of information that comes our way. Came across some interesting statistics. 73% of adults now use a social networking site of some kind. The average American on social media platforms receives about 54,000 words or 443 minutes of video every day. Not a week, but daily. There's another thing, and I don't know, this is a couple of years old, it may have changed somewhat. More than 1 billion tweets are sent every hour, or about 100,000 tweets per minute. According to Twitter calculations, a day's tweets are enough to write a 10 million page book. It's amazing. You would think that Twitter would give out after a while, but it continues to expand. 20 million emails were sent in the time it took me to say this sentence, and now there's 40 million. 16 minutes of every hour is spent on social networking site of some variety. So no wonder experts talk about information fatigue syndrome. We struggle with IFS, not just the IRS, right? Which is the fatigue of being overwhelmed by an incomprehensible amount of information. We hear so many voices, listen to so many advertisements, and often can leave us confused or bewildered, trying to process all of it. And certainly a distraction, and perhaps in the midst of all of the voices and all the advertisements and all the tweets and all the emails, are we missing the one that is most important? The voice of our Lord. Sometimes we're distracted because we do not hear correctly. Hearing problems are prevalent in our world. We're either not hearing correctly or correctly understanding what someone is trying to say to us. And other times we confuse the meaning of what we hear. We only hear bits and pieces of something in the communication, and so the real meaning is lost. Remember, in a previous appointment, a lady in that congregation was turning 93. And we went to her birthday celebration. Her name was Ruby, and my wife, she shared with her, she said, "Miss Ruby," I said, "I think it's just awesome that you're turning 93. And there was a real pause, and her face looked very troubled. And she sighed, and she was a little bit frazzled, you could tell. And she said, "Well, you know, I have some good friends. I'm doing pretty good. My health is pretty good. It's not so awful turning 93. And my wife intervened quickly and said, "Miss Ruby, I didn't say it was awful." She said, "I said it was awesome that you turned 93. She just heard that in a completely different way. Didn't quite hear what she was trying to say in a correct manner. That can be a real distraction as well. We want to see things more than we want to hear things happening in our world. Another distraction. Our culture comes from the Greek culture, and it's very sight-oriented. Especially today, we are visual learners, right? We use our iPhones, our computers, our TV screens. And even today in church, we're using screens. Certainly, God is interested in all of our senses. He made them all, after all, right? Right before this chapter 10, chapter 9, there is a miracle that took place. Fascinating miracle. Jesus healed a man who was blind. It created quite a controversy because the Jewish leaders were trying to understand who Jesus was, but also that he had healed this man on the Sabbath, which broke Sabbath law, and they were strict law-abiding characters, the Pharisees. So the question was raised about the person of Jesus. Was he truly the Messiah, or was he a false Christ? And if you look back in chapter 9, he heals this man who is blind, and in verse 27, the Pharisees come to interrogate this man about what Jesus had done in his life and giving him back his sight. And then he went back to him a second time, and here in verse 27, here's what this man says when they ask or interrogate him. He says, "I told you already, and you did not hear. Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples?" And note the emphasis on hearing. Well, this made them very mad, as you might imagine. In logical order here, we must hear from God and be instructed before we can actively engage life and its pursuits, being in the will of God here. The human dilemma is that we're often very sight-oriented and very action-oriented. We want to see something, maybe perhaps even if it is wrong. In overemphasizing seeing, I think we miss one central element in the Scriptures and what Jesus is talking about here. The Shema in the Old Testament, it's still right at the root and center of Judaism today, and monotheism as it is. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It says, hear, O Israel. It doesn't say see. After all, they couldn't see God. God's a spirit. In Romans 10:15, it says, faith comes by hearing. It doesn't say faith comes by seeing. It comes by hearing. It's certainly evident that Jesus performed a lot of miracles like this man who was blind and now was healed so he could see. And Jesus performed a lot of signs that were evidently before the people that they could see. But the emphasis is more on hearing. I'm reminded of doubting Thomas, who said he would not believe until he saw Christ. He heard about it from the other disciples. They had given witness that they had seen the risen Christ, but he said he would not believe until he saw. John 20:25, and of course Jesus gave him that opportunity. But notice what Jesus said to Thomas in John 20:29. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. When Jesus was on the cross, people were crying for him to come down from the cross. They wanted to see his power and ability. Thank God Jesus stayed on the cross. Remember, Jesus had raised the dead. He healed this blind man. He cleansed the lepers. They had seen all these things. Signs and wonders might wow us and impress us, but they do not generate lasting faith. We will be looking for another sign and another sign and another sign. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. This leads me to the next part. How do we know we've heard the voice of Christ amidst all the other voices in our world? He said, "My sheep hear my voice." So how do we know we're hearing the voice of Christ? Well, I would submit spiritual disciplines, means of grace, Wesley called them. There's three significant ones. This is nothing new today. These are foundational core teachings within the church and within the Holy Scriptures. And the first one really is the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures. They're not just words printed on a page. They are from the Scripture's own testimony, the very words of God. It says of itself that it is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. We hear the voice of Christ through the holy word of God. That's why it's so important that we take the word into our lives personally, daily, individually, as well as corporately. We hear the voice of Christ
through the Word of God. Secondly is prayer. A very important part of our spiritual formation. I love the old gospel song, In the Garden, the classic Christian hymn. It says, He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me, I am His own. Prayer is not just breathing out our requests to God, but it is truly listening for the voice of Christ. I love E. Stanley Jones, who was a longtime missionary in India. He called prayer the listening post. How about that? A place where we hear the voice of God that may nudge us or challenge us or comfort us, whatever that need may be in that moment, in that season. The other thing that I would mention is worship and fellowship together. This is the model of the early church in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the word of God, to prayer, to breaking of bread, and to fellowship together of like-minded believers. Christ speaks to us through other believers. I'm thankful that I've been a part of a small group throughout my ministry. People who have helped me in different seasons of my own life. Proverbs says, iron sharpens irons. When I'm making big decisions in my life, whatever trial or struggle I might be going through, it's helpful to know that there are people there that I can lean on and that they can lean on me, that they can be a part of my own hearing the voice of Christ that brings courage and assurance and sometimes admonition and challenge. There are other means of grace, but these are the three primary ones, ways in which we can hear the voice of Christ in our lives. And what I have discovered is when things go wrong or when we get off course or when we go astray, it's normally because we have dropped one of these foundational means of grace, the Word of God, prayer, or fellowship with other like-minded believers. We hear the voice of Christ through those primary means of grace. And the last part of this, if we are sheep, and I hope we all are here, and we are listening, are we responding obediently to what the Good Shepherd may be saying to us? The story of a guy who was in seminary studying for ministry, and two of his fellow students were raised on a sheep farm. He had the opportunity one summer to go to the sheep farm with his friends and their father, who was the chief shepherd over the farm. One evening after supper, they walked out toward the pasture, and this guy's name was Bill Donahue. And their father asked him and said, do you want to call the sheep in tonight? And he said, well, I've never done that before. And the father of the boy said, well, it's real easy. All you got to do is just say, come on in, sheep. Come on in. So Bill thought to himself, well, surely I can do that. So in a not so loud voice, he called out, come on in, sheep. He said, there were about 75 sheep out there, about 75 yards away, and they just kept on grazing. It didn't faze them one bit. They just kept on eating. No response. The father, the chief shepherd of the sheep, said, you're not speaking loud enough. He says, put on your best preacher voice and speak out loud to them. Come on in, sheep. And so Bill mustered up a big wind and voice. He said, come on in, sheep. And those sheep were not fazed in the slightest. They just kept their heads down grazing. And the old gentleman started laughing. Just started laughing. He said, do you read your Bible? He said, what does it say? My sheep hear my voice. And the old shepherd didn't really raise his voice very much. He just said, come on in, sheep. And those sheep raised their heads up and moved at his voice. As I thought about that, I want to be like that. I want us all to be like that. When the shepherd speaks, we're not just listening, but we're responding. And what Christ says here, when we respond like that, we're in the Father's hand and no one can snatch them out of his hand. That's the promise and assurance of life. As we come to this closing time, some of you may have never really trusted Christ in your life, never really surrendered your life to Christ. That's how you become a sheep. Some of you may be distracted. So much information, so many things that you're trying to process in your life as you're not really hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. And yet there may be others here who may be hearing from the Lord, but you're not responding obediently to what he may be saying to you. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. You know it. I'll go with him, all the way. May we pray. Lord, thank you for being the good and great shepherd that you even laid down your life for the sheep. We pray that all of us as your sheep today would hear your voice and respond obediently as you call us in our lives. We pray, God, where we may have strayed, that you may recall us. Where we have failed, that you may help us to repent and turn back to you. Lead us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Be the good and great shepherd in our life, so that we may know life eternal and abundant. We pray this in and through the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Please stand.
Amen. Before we depart into our lunchtime, I want to remind you of a few announcements in your bulletin. It is VBS and camp season, and you will find much information in your bulletin for that. We want to remind you to reserve your spot for the Prime Timers Hamburger Cookout on May 20th, and we want to invite families out to be a part of the Agape Hands Puppet Team Spring Program on May the 7th at 4 p.m., and other announcements can be found in your bulletin. As we prepare to depart this place, we pray that God will bless our meal, our fellowship, and our time together this afternoon. But we also pray that God's sweet Holy Spirit will commune with each of us as we go forth from this place to be led by our shepherd to do the work that God has called us to do. Go in the peace and the grace of our Heavenly Father. And until we meet again, my friends, shalom and God be with you.